Good morning. You can come on in. There's no embarrassment. Okay, gotcha. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. It is good for us to be together today, especially. Believe it or not, 1 year ago was my first weekend here. So we get to begin our second year together. It is so good to be here with all of you, and I am so glad that you are here with us in worship. I'm glad you are joining us online as well as we come together as God's people. We continue to celebrate this green and growing season after Pentecost, where we give thanks for God's goodness and love. Couple of other announcements. First of all, we have some Sunday school bags in the back. So if you have children here or if there will be children visiting, make sure that you get them a Sunday school bag and then remind them that this coming Wednesday, August 11th, for one night only, we have Vacation Bible School. This Wednesday evening, beginning at 6 o'clock, we will have music and games and stories and crafts all focused on the story of God's love shown through Jonah. So again, if you have children or grandchildren, if there are neighbor children, stranger children, children you bump into at the grocery store, let them know that for one night only, we have Vacation Bible School on Wednesday, August 11th. We also want to make sure that I express a great big thank you to all of you who have donated to the Thrift Chop's effort to provide our homeless community with some food when they come. You are truly a blessing. There is no table, but if you need to drop things off, please let me know. We'll find a spot for it. You can also continue to drop things off at the Thrift Chop when it is open or at the office when we're open here. Gail Shively and her family are going to be celebrating her birthday this week. As Gail turns some number that a gentleman will never ask her out loud, as she turns that, she invites all of you to help her to give thanks to God for the years, for her health, for her family, and so much more. The party will be at the Sydney Holiday Inn Express this coming Saturday, August 14th, from 1 until 4 in the afternoon. So please plan to join Gail as she celebrates her birthday this year. Yay! I will be on vacation next weekend. Stacy and I are going to take a little trip and get out of town and just breathe. But next weekend, Pastor Cheryl will be here, and she's very excited to see all of her friends here at St. John's. So please join Pastor Cheryl next Sunday in worship. There are lots of other announcements in your bulletin, and I hope you have a chance to read through all of them. But we've gathered this morning to be in worship, to join our voices to those across time and space giving thanks and praise to God. So let us continue our worship by please rising. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Our gathering song then is Thy Word, and we sing together.
Word is alive. will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side, and I will love you to the end. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. You're a light unto my path.
Let us pray. Gracious God, your blessed Son came down from heaven to be the true bread that gives life to the world. Give us this bread always, that he may live in us and we in him, and that strengthened by this food we may live as his body in the world, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
First lesson is from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 4 through 8. Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under the solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat. Otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank, and then he went in strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through chapter 5, verse 2. "So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is a need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John in the 6th chapter. Now Jesus said to the crowd, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread of life, came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Someone had come in to me earlier this morning and said, "Are the rumors true?" Yes, they are true. It is my birthday today. It is the 27th anniversary of my 29th birthday. So There we are. And so it's really kind of fun because when my birthday comes, that's also the, when we begin another year together. So I shouldn't need to forget that, you know, and it's just, you know, that way there won't be any, you know, rumblings in the background. Is it birthday? Yeah, there it is. All right. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel story this morning is a further continuation of the aftermath of Jesus' miracle where he fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. All right? At that miracle, everyone there ate. They ate their fill. There were leftovers. And Jesus shows us all that with God, there is always enough, especially enough to share. But then last weekend, we heard that the crowds, they came searching for Jesus. And Jesus claimed that they were actually looking for more of that free food and not for the food that lasts, the food that will help us to truly live our lives. Jesus was telling them that they needed to find that bread of life. And then he was saying that he is the bread of life. And in saying that, that's when the complaining got started. And that's where we are in today's gospel story. As Jesus was teaching about the bread of life, he also set the crowds abuzz. The Pharisees and the leaders of the Jew, they were understandably upset because Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." And the Pharisees, they believed something different. The Jewish leaders, they thought they knew something different. Now, both of those groups, they all understood metaphor to try to be a comparison, right? Jesus is bread of life. But for them, it was Torah. The first 5 books of the Bible, the 5 books of Moses, the source for the Pharisees' 613 rules and laws and instructions, the Torah is, was, and always would be for them the bread of life. From Torah came instruction for life. And now here was Jesus saying that he was more important than Torah. And that's what started all of those complaints. To them, Jesus was being presumptuous as well as aggravating. Torah is the bread of life to them. It couldn't be a person because that's impossible. And it especially can't be a person that we know and have watched grow up. That's just crazy. So Jesus had them really, really upset because he was from Nazareth, not heaven. We know all of Jesus' family. He is nothing special, and Torah is extra special. And so this is where the wrangling was coming in. So all that Jesus could do was to keep on teaching them, showing them, telling them, living the truth that he knew, the truth of God's love. In fact, he went on to say to them that no one can come to me unless the Father draws them. As if to say to the crowds, "I understand why you don't believe me, because you are not open to where the Father is right now." If they had understood what God was really all about, which is love, they would be drawn to Jesus and the love that he lives. You see, as Jesus is teaching these crowds, saying, "I am the bread of life," he is teaching, he means that he comes so that we might have eternal life. Jesus was telling the crowds and us that there is a purpose for his being there, a purpose for his life and his ministry. And that purpose is so that we might have eternal life. But what does that mean? In John's gospel, eternal life is not only having a really fun time with God sometime in heaven. Eternal life in John's gospel is life connected to the eternal one. Life connected to God. See, that is the purpose. Why? That is why Jesus came. Through the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord, we are no longer separated from God by sin, but rather we are connected. We have eternal life. We have life connected to God through Christ. And so if we partake of the bread of life, we have access to eternal life. If we live our life following Jesus, we have access to eternal life. If we come to this table and we take, eat, drink, remember, we have access to eternal life. And Jesus actually taught, much to the Pharisees' chagrin, that this bread of life is his flesh. Now, Jesus is in no way encouraging cannibalism. Jesus is playing with the disciples' memory, with our memory, with the crowd's memory. He wants us to see that on that night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, he took wine. This is my body, this is my blood. Take, eat, give it away. Live this way. Remember me. Because then if we live in our bodies the life Jesus lives every day, we have partaken of the body of life, the bread of life, and we are connected to God. As we partake in the bread of life, we can live lives of kindness and care, of forgiveness, hope, and peace. But like Elijah today in our reading from 1 Kings, we can be famished and exhausted and wish there was just someone else who could do all of this. Because the world comes at us with so much that needs to be done. So many people in need. Too much for any one of us on our own. And so today, Jesus is telling the leaders, his disciples, any of us, all of us, that like Elijah, we need to get up and eat. We need to partake in the bread of life. We have access to that bread. Bread to inspire true living. Bread to draw us together. Bread that we can get up and eat because we have lots and lots to do. Paul was helping as well. Jesus came that we might have eternal life, and Paul was trying to help the Ephesians to understand just what our life connected to the eternal one can look like. Now, the community in Ephesus was diverse. Some of them were Jews who had grown up with the Torah, with the prophets, and with all the teachings from the synagogue. Others were Gentiles from all kinds of various backgrounds who had had no experience with Hebrew scripture at all. Paul was trying to bind these different groups into one family of God. He was bringing them together, noting that God's love is there. All of theirs, not just for some. Paul also noted that all had been given gifts and skills and talents to help build up and strengthen the family of God. He told them what they needed to live, to really live as God's children. He taught what it takes to live, to really live an eternal life, a life connected to God. And the amazing thing is that for the Ephesians and for us, what Paul tells them is easy to understand no matter how difficult it is for us to live this way. Because Paul taught that to live in the life of the bread of life, we must put away falsehood. Now think about that. That shouldn't be hard for us to wrap our heads around. Put away falsehood. But then he says, speak the truth in love. We all have been the recipient of a harsh truth. Not necessarily that the truth itself was hard, but the way it was presented to us was like being slapped. Paul says, speak the truth in love. Care for the people with whom you are communicating. Set aside falsehood, but speak in love. He says, hold no grudges. That can be a little harder. Hold no grudges. Anger is okay, according to Paul, but vengeance is not. Anger is okay, but do not let that anger become the driving force behind you. Vengeance adds weight onto your life and becomes oppressive. Vengeance leads to violence. And so instead of that, Paul says, live for others. You see, holding grudges and seeking for vengeance is all about me, Paul says. Live for others. Discover ways to share the care and the grace and the goodness and the kindness that comes from God. Paul says, put away bitterness, wrath, anger, wrangling, slander, and malice. There goes all those AM radio stations. There goes all of the things that we sort of read with a little twinge in our back on Facebook or Instagram. There goes all those knee-jerk reactions we have. Paul says, instead of that, be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving, as God in Christ has forgiven you. There's the secret. If we needed any kind of inspiration for this eternal life, there it is. Paul's instructions are simple. If we have been touched by God's love, if we have been affected by Jesus' death and resurrection, then we can be kind. We can be kind even to people we don't like. We can be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving even to people who have hurt and offended us. We can live without vengeance, without violence, without hatred and bitterness, because this is what living an eternal life is about. This is life with God walking by our side. This is life when we are imitators of God. See, that's the instruction that Paul sort of saves for the end. Be imitators of God. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear something like that, I'm like, oh, wait a second. I'm nowhere near good enough to do that. But Paul lifts up this because for Paul, he believes that we can do it. We can do it because of God's love shown to us through Jesus Christ. We can do it because it's not as hard as we want to think that it is, because Paul isn't telling us to imitate God the Creator, or God the one who redeems the entire planet, or God who makes all of us holy. Paul is asking us to imitate God's love, and he's already been teaching us how. Paul is building up to this declaration as he says, speak the truth. Put away anger and vengeance. Be kind. This is how God lives and acts towards us every day. We only hear truth from God. God is always kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving. God holds no grudge. If we have been touched by God, we already know how to imitate God. Paul just beckons us to try. And you see, that is truly our calling. We get to imitate God. It's not that we've got to, it's that we get to imitate God. There is one thing that we humans are best at, and that is imitating. It's how we learn to walk. It's how we learn to talk. It's how we learn to write. It's how we learn to do just about everything. Drive cars, you name it. We imitate someone else to see how it's done. So instead of imitating sports stars, celebrities, or politicians, we get to imitate God. And when we imitate God, the family of God grows. The kingdom of God grows. God's dream for creation gets more and more and more real. When we imitate God, kindness is more evident. Forgiveness flows. And we get to love our world to be beautiful. Jesus came to be for us the bread of life so that we can have eternal life. So now let us live that eternal life as we imitate God's kindness and love now and always. Amen. Please rise. In celebration of our baptism, let us confess our faith using the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Rooted in Christ and sustained by the Spirit, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all of creation. For the Church of Christ in all its diverse forms. For mission developers, new mission starts, and all communities of faith exploring new models of ministry for the sake of the gospel. For congregations facing difficult decisions about their future, Lord, in your mercy. For the health and well-being of creation. For shade trees that provide refuge from the hot summer sun. For lakes, rivers, and oceans contaminated and all who lack clean water. Lord, in your mercy. For those called to positions of authority in our legal system, we pray. For judges, lawyers, law clerks, and court employees who ensure the fair administration of justice. For corrections officers and prison chaplains, that they would deal mercifully with those who are incarcerated. Lord, in your mercy. For all who cry out to you in their affliction. For exiles, refugees, and others who face long and difficult journeys uncertain about the future. For all who mourn the death of a loved one. For all who are sick. Lord, in your mercy. For this assembly gathered around your table, we pray. For those among us who bake bread and prepare the vessels for our communion celebration. For those who bring the food from this table to those who are homebound and hospitalized, Lord, in your mercy. For those who have been raised to eternal life, we give thanks. With all the saints, we praise you for the bread of life that keeps us in your love forever. Lord, in your mercy. We lift these and all our prayers to you, O God, confident in the promise of your saving love through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Have a blessed week as you go into the world with hope.
May God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Felt it first when I was younger. A strange connection to the light. To satisfy the hunger, I never got it right. Never got it right. So I climbed a mountain, built an altar, looked out as far as I could see. And every day I'm getting older, I'm running out of dreams, I'm running out of dreams. Your love, the only thing that matters is your love, all I have to give. Your love's enough, light up the darkness, it's your love, all I ever needed is.
You know the effort I have given. You know exactly what it cost. Though my innocence was taken, not everything is lost. Not everything is lost. But your love, the only thing that matters is your love, all I have to give.